Tacoma Civil Service Board meeting to order. Could I get a roll call?
Sure. Board Member Hansen?
Here.
Vice Chair Sexton?
Here.
Board Member Heller?
Here.
Board Member Klein?
Here.
Deputy City Attorney Martha Lance?
Here.
Roll call is complete.
All right, thank you. So we've already had the oath for our new board member. Want to welcome Board Member Klein. Would you care to say anything?
Well, I appreciate this opportunity and be part of this team that fills an important role in the city. And as I was mentioning to you earlier, I watched and looked at some of the comments from you board members, and a theme in this was public service and being fair and doing right. And I look forward to contributing to an organization whose focus is those kind of important things for the city of Tacoma. And for those who may not know me, I worked for the city of Tacoma for 28 years.
Great. And I see Board Member Heller joined us. I might have missed that in the roll call, but good to have you here. Any discussion on the minutes? The minutes for April 7th, 2022. Do I hear a motion?
I'd like to move to approve the minutes for April 22nd, 2022.
All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Vice Chair Sexton?
Oh.
Yes.
I didn't hear a second.
I think Amy seconded.
Oh, did she? Okay.
I don't know if I got...
I can't second. I wasn't here.
Oh, did I second? Okay. I forgot.
Can we back up a second here?
Of course we can. For you.
Did I get the date right on the minutes? It says April 7th. I think instead of 22nd. I don't know why. Okay. Yeah. I need to revise my motion, Vice Chair.
Yes.
Okay, I would like to move to approve the minutes for the Civil Service Board meeting held on April 7th of
2022. Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It's just you and me.
Vice Chair Sexton, this is
yes.
Board Member Klein. I'd like the record to indicate I was not on the board at that time, therefore I'm abstaining.
Yes, we duly noted.
And I am also abstaining as I wasn't present at that meeting.
Yes, thank you both. Communication for information.
Wendy, you're on mute.
Is that better?
Yes.
For the Harris appeal, I have this on the agenda this evening just to communicate with you that I had not heard from Mr. Harris. I had made repeated attempts to reach him by email, left him a message. After the agenda was sent out, he did finally respond, and he prefers to go ahead and move forward with a Zoom hearing. He does not want to wait until the emergency proclamation is lifted. So with that, we can go ahead and schedule.
Vice Chair Sexton?
Yes.
I'm going to again assert my objection that the city council is meeting in person, the public utility boards is meeting in person, and the civil service board needs to meet in person as well. These type of appeal hearings are crucial and critical to the board to work, to the functioning of the city, to having a fair and thorough process. We've tried it. It does not work well. And I believe that we need to set this hearing for as soon as possible. And like the city council and like the public utility boards, we need to have this hearing in person. I understand that it makes sense to do virtual meetings when we don't have a lot of meat in our agenda, but for these important, critical type of meetings where we're actually hearing appeals, we need to be sure that we are all functioning, that we can hear everything that's going on, that they can hear us, and we need to be meeting in person.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any
Vice
more?
Chair Sexton.
Is that was that Board Member Hansen?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, I would like to also raise the objection that Ms. Heller has raised, Board Member Heller has raised. And it appears that the City Council has determined that the Public Utilities Board meeting should be held in person. And I'd like to kind of compare and contrast those two boards, the Civil Service Board and that board. And I'm not entirely sure, I haven't reviewed the city charter to determine exactly what the Public Utilities Board does, but I believe that we are unique in the city of Tacoma in that we do have elected members. We have three elected members on the Civil Service Board. They're elected by the citizens. I don't believe that the Utilities Board has elected members. We are a quasi-judicial body in that we can make decisions after the both parties have had a full and fair hearing. And I don't believe that the Public Utilities Board has hearing held before that board where decisions are made after testimony of witnesses and after documentary evidence is offered. We also have a legislative function in that we can enact personnel rules with the approval of the city council. We can propose rules and it would take a two-thirds majority of the council to overturn our proposed rules. I don't believe the utilities board has that authority. So it's hard for me to understand why the Civil Service Board is excluded from in-person meetings, but the Utilities Board is not. And I'd like to also add that, as Ms. Heller or Board Heller has stated, it's very difficult to have a Zoom meeting when we have a hearing where we have witnesses testify and exhibits are offered. I've done those in the past and there are some difficulties. I think I mentioned at the last meeting that I had problems with my internet and I had to actually go on the phone. We don't know if witnesses would have that problem or the other parties' attorneys would have that problem. And so it becomes really a big problem for us. And as I said, the utilities board is meeting in person. I don't believe that they have hearings where testimony is offered and exhibits are offered. So for those reasons, I would like to just agree with Board Member Heller that there's really no reason for us to distinguish the Civil Service Board from the Public Utilities Board and not have us have or allow us to have in-person meetings.
Vice Chair Sexton?
I hear someone.
It's me and Board Member Heller.
Oh, okay. I don't see anywhere.
I can't turn on my camera because if I turn on my camera, the
Board Member Heller, please.
And I get bumped off. So yeah. I would like to move at this time that the Civil Service Board schedule the Harris appeal for the first date possible in our regular agenda schedule, and that it be held in person. That's my motion.
Board Member Hansen, were you going to second that?
Yes, I second that motion.
All right.
Vice Chair Sexton?
Yes.
Deputy City Attorney Martha Lance has her hand up.
I'm sorry, Martha. Oh, that's what that is. Please, Martha, please.
No, that's okay. And I think you've got you can go ahead and finish your motion. I mean, I think you've got that, and you can make that motion and see if you get a majority to pass that. All I was going to say is that at this point, you know, I understand your position, and you know, you are asserting your position, the position in the form of this motion, which I think you should go ahead and vote on, and then I'll speak to the information that I have.
Okay. Is there any more discussion? I would like to speak to this at some point, but is there?
I think you've got Board Member Klein. Sorry.
Yeah.
Please go ahead, Board Member Klein.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So I'm a little bit confused on this because I've followed this as you folks have, and it's a position that's, I don't know if you define it as ordinance or whatever its legal form is, but it's issued by the mayor in conjunction with the emergency orders of the governor. And so my struggle is that I understand how you guys feel, and I think your arguments make good sense in terms of it being a better format, but if the proclamation is such that we can't violate it, then are we doing something that helps the cause to get the mayor to change her mind, or do we just make her mad?
Board Member Vice Chair Sexton.
Yes, Board Member Heller.
Thank you. So Board Member Klein, I hear what you're saying, and I understand. I would also say that the governor has lifted the social distancing and masking provisions. So this emergency, as has the King County Executive Director, I'm not sure about Pierce County Executive Director, I think they have as well. This is not a lawful requirement at this point that we can't do, other than the city council did pass this emergency rule. At the same time, the emergency rule is not being consistently applied, as the Tacoma City Council and the Tacoma Public Utility Board are both being authorized to meet in person. So therefore, as duly elected board members, I think that we have the right to pass a motion and to meet in person to hear these important appeal hearings. Like I said, on meetings that we don't have meaty hearings, I don't see any problem with continuing to conduct our business virtually. But when it comes to issues that are important matters of the public, we need to be able to meet in person, to have technology, be able to not have technology impairments to our meetings, and be able to clearly hear and make decisions that are in the best interest of the city. Sorry about that.
Sure. Was that everything?
Sure. Oh. I'm sorry.
Is that Board Member Hansen?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I think Board Member Heller, did I interrupt you, or were you done?
I was done. I was just apologizing for my phone.
Oh. Okay. I just wanted to add that I think for the record, we're making the motion and voicing our objection to the position of the council, city council. I think as a practical matter, if we were to try to set this up as an in-person hearing, that we would try to arrange, I mean, we would arrange to have that held in council chambers at our usual meeting place. And I think we would probably end up with somebody telling us that the county is not going to permit us to do that. So that's probably how it's going to play out. But I think that we certainly can, for the record, make this motion and voice our objections and go from there. I think we can certainly request that this we be allowed to use the chambers for this hearing. Whether or not that actually happens, I don't know. I don't know who would be making that request, whether that request, would that be Ms. Hobson or Ms. Lance or someone could make the request. And I guess, the worst that can happen is they can say, no way. We've voiced our objection for the record.
All right. Before we vote on the motion, I think the maker of the motion is going to have to read it for all of us, so we're clear again on what it says, because I'm not able to do that. My thoughts on this was more on the hearing than anything else. We have a very important hearing coming up, and I think it's impossible to have a full and fair hearing. Sometimes in the chambers, our hearings would go on for hours. We've had hearings that have gone on for over the course of a couple of nights. And I think to, try and do that under these conditions would just be impossible. Many times in a hearing, there's new evidence presented. And there's new evidence presented and handed out to both sides and to us. And that's would be impossible over Zoom and these conditions. I just think that that there's no way that that anyone is going to be happy or satisfied that they received a full and fair hearing. And I hope and I expect that the city would join us with that, and the city would agree to that position, that this hearing, at least this hearing, has to be held in person in the chambers. We can do, meeting in the chambers, our regular meetings as a separate issue. It might hurt that cause, but I think this is too important to get wrong, and it's something that we just have to do in person. We have to be there. So that's my thoughts on it. If there's no more discussion.
Vice Chair Sexton?
Yes,
that was please. That was an eloquent defense of that position, and I can feel where you're coming from. Being new here, though, I don't understand, and I think Board Member Hansen kind of touched on it, a motion in which we request the city correct this grievous error that is not in the best interest of the citizens of Tacoma. Have you already requested it and it's been denied? That's where I struggle with. It seems like we're jumping straight to kind of an in-your-face saying we're going to hold this meeting in public regardless of what you think, Mayor, versus have we formally asked her to fix it first and given her the opportunity to do the right thing?
Yeah,
Chair Sexton. And I know, I think Martha or Ms. Lance had her hand up before me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to refresh recollections that the board at you know, in your last two meetings has communicated this very same position, and it was advanced in the form of a letter back to, you asked me to ask, you know, to find out what was going on, and the mayor has emergency rule number 5 in place, and she hasn't rescinded it, and I think I sent everybody a copy of that. So to the just sort of the practicalities of it, that is where we lie. I mean, I understand that you're indicating disagreement, but it's been essentially, you know, we've asked once and the response has been this emergency rule is in place until it's rescinded, and she hasn't rescinded it yet. So to your point, Board Member Hansen, the practicalities and sort of the logistics of it all, my sense is your motion would be made, but you know that if that emergency rule number 5 remains in place, that the facilities of the city would not be offered or allowed because it would be inconsistent with the emergency rule that the mayor has in place. Now, how much longer that's going to stay in place, I don't know. I don't have any specific information, but you know, to Board Member Heller's point, these things are being lifted and removed at, you know, a fairly rapid clip. So it could be, even by the time of your next board meeting in, what month is this? In June, it could be. And the only other point that I wanted to just leave you with was on the logistics of holding a hearing in this virtual format. You did have the Zebulon Faro hearing, which was quite complex, quite extensive. It went on for a number of hours. There were numerous witnesses. Evidence was exchanged, documents were presented, and that went very well, honestly. I mean, it really went off without a glitch. And with regard to this appeal, I don't think it's going to be like that. I don't think there's going to be documentary evidence, and we haven't heard anything to that effect yet.
Board Member Heller?
So I would disagree. I remember that hearing, and I think it was very problematic. I just, in the middle of Martha Lance's information she was providing, my system froze up and I missed half of it. Mm-hmm. And that happened during the course of the hearing as well. People were trying to talk and they could not speak because we had technology issues. There were times that it was frozen at whether it's our home systems that could not keep up with or have enough bandwidth, or whether it's the city system, I don't know. It has not been effective. It hasn't worked well. And while I agree with Board Member Hansen that the city could certainly deny us the use of their facilities should we pass this motion on the floor. At the same time, also, we're not absolutely required to meet in city facilities, similar to, again, the city council that occasionally goes into the field and has town hall type meetings at different park locations or such. We could also go to a Metropolitan Park location conference room. We could go to a Pierce County large conference room. There are a number of facilities where we could go outside of city facilities and hold our hearing if it's necessary. So I would say that it's more important to be able to hold a functioning, defensible hearing where both sides are adequately heard by all voting members of the board.
Board Member Hansen?
I think trying to use other facilities might be problematic, and part of the problem is that these hearings need to be recorded because we need to create a record in case it's appealed to Superior Court. And so to find a facility that has the recording apparatus for the hearing may prove to be quite problematic. And I think as a political matter, I think we need to maintain a relationship with the council that such that we are attempting to cooperate with each other and go through the proper channels. And I'm just afraid that if we go off and do something, go off to some other facility, that we're going to create a lot of bad feelings. And I think in the future, we want to be able to work with the city council. I think there's a number of issues that will come up in the future, in particular, possible new personnel rules that will address some of the outstanding issues that we've been talking about over the years. And I think we're going to need some cooperation with the council to do that. So I hate to really not have a good working relationship over this particular issue. I think this is going to be resolved sooner or later. I mean, as board member Heller has stated in the past, COVID is now the new normal. And from what I've read, it doesn't appear that COVID is going to go away like it did in 1918. And so this is something that we're going to be faced with for years future. And so to maintain emergency rules for indefinitely is just something that's not workable and in fact would go contrary to the terms of the city charter that all of us as elected officials and members of board have agreed to follow. And so I think what I do suggest is that, and I'd also like to state that the letter that was sent to Mayor Woodards, I believe, did not mention the in-person hearing issue. I think that was limited to the residency and the competitive examination issue. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
No, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. That was
okay. And then Ms. Heller and I, or Board Member Heller and I, both emailed the council about the in-person meeting issue, and we have not, to this date, received a supply or reply to those emails that we both sent. And so what I would suggest is that Ms. Lance, given that you know, with your legal training and your understanding of hearings, I know that you don't necessarily agree with our position, but if you or someone else could articulate our position to whoever is going to be making that determination as to whether or not we can use those facilities. I mean, I think that's all we can do at this point. And like I said, we've attempted to articulate our positions in the emails, and it might be useful to do that again. I think some of us or one of us need to address these issues to the council in person itself. And I think it would be useful because we could have kind of a back and forth dialogue on these things and perhaps reach some kind of resolution, because the residency issue is, to me, is a very important issue also, given that the majority of the voters struck down a proposal to eliminate the residence requirement. So those are things that are kind of burning issues, and Mr. or Board Member Klein, those are some of the issues that we have outstanding that you're going to be working with us on as well.
Board Benson, first things first, we have a motion on the floor still currently. So we want to stick to that right now. And if I may, to our council, Ms. Lance, are you familiar with the wording, the exceptions that the city has made to the emergency rule?
Yes, it's in Proclamation of Emergency Rule Number 5, which was issued by the mayor on, February 22nd of 2022, where that rule says the city council and the public utility Board, as of that date, have the option of holding their public meetings in hybrid format that includes an in-person component and a remote component. But effective as of that date, all other public meetings of the City of Tacoma shall be held in virtual remote format only. So that's the latest from the mayor that I was referencing. And as of this moment, it has not been lifted. And again, I don't know a date certain, but I also think it's reasonable to assume that it isn't going to be much longer. I just can't give you any more certainty than that. The only other thing that I would add in terms of due process and fair hearings, that we've had, you know, multiple challenges in court cases and, you know, questions about is it, are appellants or plaintiffs or defendants, are they being given appropriate due process by retreating to virtual court proceedings? And courts, jurisdictions, courts across the country have allowed that to happen. So I appreciate that, you know, that it's not ideal and that there might be glitches, but I just wanted to just reiterate that it's not a true due process prohibition to conduct a virtual hearing.
All right, duly noted. I don't think these are absolutely ideal conditions, but duly noted, thank you. Board Member Heller, if there's no more discussion, could you read us your motion?
Sure. So I had moved that we
pass. Boy, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Can you turn up a little?
Maybe Wendy could read it back, maybe. Did you write it down, Wendy?
No.
Mm-hmm. Try again.
So I had moved that we would meet in person at the next possible time we could schedule within our regular hearing schedule to hear the appeal before us of Mr. I forget the name at the moment, my screen went dark, but to hear his appeal in person by the members of the board.
And that was seconded by Board Member Hansen. I think that's a pretty good motion. I think we've thoroughly discussed it. I don't see
call for the question.
Don't see any other discussion, and the question's been called for. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay.
I'd like to abstain.
And one abstention. All right. Well, moving on. Actions on matters still pending, new business.
None this evening.
Consideration of matters set for public hearing.
Martha Lance has her hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that for this or?
I did have a question, and I didn't put my hand up. I actually waved, which was a mistake. So
I'm not good at catching those.
Well, anyway, I meant to raise my hand, but instead I think I did the wave emoji. So, you know, it's all good. So I guess I just wanted to, on the motion, duly noted, but and we will absolutely, Ms. Fritz and I will carry that to the city attorney and to the mayor and to, you know, be very clear into what this board has requested by way of the motion. In terms of the hearing, if you recall, Ms. Hobson indicated that she did speak with the appellant and he wants to go ahead with it, even in this non-ideal format, and he wants to do it as soon as possible. So we do have a bit of a dilemma here in that he's entitled to a prompt hearing, and this has gone on for, you know, a couple months now already. So
let me clarify that my motion, by no way did I intend to delay his hearing.
No, and I did not mean that. That wasn't what I meant.
Possible, but to do so in person.
Well, Ms. Lance, I am hopeful that the city would back our position on this, and that the city's position would be the same as our position. If the city you know, still opposes having the hearing in person, which they've never taken a position on. But if the city won't let us have the hearing in person, then plan B, of course, would be to schedule it for a Zoom hearing. But I am hopeful that the city would not want to do this. And I see your hand raised.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I appreciate that. And that makes sense to me. So we'll, like I said, Ms. Fritz and I can get this messaging out ASAP and get an answer. And if the answer is, you know, that the mayor feels that the emergency rule remains in place and it prohibits that the requested in-person hearing, then Ms. Hobson can get back in touch with the appellant and let him know that, you know, we're going to try to set a date for the Zoom. But so I guess more to come on that. And I really want to, I'm sorry if I indicated that I thought that the board was somehow, you know, denying the fair hearing. I understand the conversation around this and that wasn't my intent. So I apologize if that was perceived as my suggestion.
No apologies necessary. Apologies are prohibited.
No, and you certainly didn't convey that impression to me either, so.
Ms. Hobson, civil service coordinator's report, please.
Okay, I have a few items under this one. We have one new board member this evening, soon to be another new board member. So we're hoping for the June meeting that we can schedule OPMA training and public records training for all of you, which Martha will be providing. We also will need to hold officer elections. And then the rules and regulations are very outdated, and we need to talk about maybe making modifications to those rules. I will be sending you those rules after this meeting this evening so that you'll have time to go ahead and review them and come prepared to discuss. Martha, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Nope. I know. I was just getting ready, so I didn't wave.
Just waving at me.
No, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Wendy.
Yes.
What do we know about the our other new member, the employee representative?
I believe our human resources director is going to be providing an update on that in her report.
All right. Board Member Hansen, did you have something?
Yes, I wanted. I had mentioned to Ms. Fritz several months ago that if she had suggestions for changes to the rules, it would be good to provide those to us. And I don't know if that was what Ms. Hobson was referring to or not, but that's something that I think it would be very useful for us to work on. And in the past, I think Ms. Fritz has mentioned some issues that needed to be addressed in the rules. And I think it would be great if we could start working on those as soon as we can.
Yes. Wendy, the impression I got from your report was that were you referring to the rules on our officer elections?
That, yes, I was referring to the rules for the board. I think what board member Hansen was mentioning was the personnel rules.
Okay, and you're saying that
there are two
some problems with the officer election rules, and that maybe they're out of date, or there's something that we need to take a look at and update and work on. And
yes,
and are you suggesting that that's something we should be doing between now and June, or what exactly were you suggesting?
No, what I'm going to do, Vice Chair Sexton, is I'm going to go ahead and send them to you so that you have an opportunity just to take a look and review them. But you don't want to be discussing those amongst yourselves. We need to do it.
Right. I understand.
Okay.
Right.
I guess if I could just add to that, to
please.
The board has two sets of procedural, board governance type of rules. One is the ones that Wendy was just referring to, which are called the board's rules and regulations. And in that include things like term length, officer elections. I don't know, but they haven't been updated since 2011. So we thought with a new makeup of the board, it would be a good idea to take a look at that. Similarly, we haven't had officer elections, so we should, do that. Then there's a second document that Wendy didn't even mention, but that's your rules governing adjudicative proceedings, which also hasn't been updated for at least a decade, if not longer. So just thinking of some housekeeping things, when you have two new members coming on, that it's a good opportunity to take a look at those things and get those cleaned up to meet current practices and to make sure that everybody thinks that they still make sense the way that they're written. So there's that. And then the personnel rules is a different project, but also with your new composition of the newly composed board, once you get the new employee representative on, that's absolutely something that I think would be a great idea for you to schedule like a standing agenda item and work on that as a group in response to input from human resources, in response to your own separate perusal of the personnel rules, your experience on this board, things that don't seem right. I mean, that's a pretty big project, but I think it's worthy, and to get it done in the open meetings and, subject to those requirements, I think it's going to take some time. So just sort of planning ahead for, I guess, things to look forward to.
Yes. Yeah. Great. Wendy, I think we interrupted your report. Was that everything you had?
Yes, I am done reporting.
All right. That's what I was waiting for. Thank you very much. The Human Resource Director report, please. Ms. Fritz.
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair Sexton. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I have a brief report for you this evening, and the first topic is reconstitution. Just letting you know that our second group of employees began their new post-pandemic work schedules starting on April 18th. Many employees will still be working a hybrid schedule, which is, partial telework and partially in the office. So far, our reconstitution efforts have gone smoothly, but we're keeping a close watch on the increasing number of positive COVID-19 cases in both the city and the county. There are two more groups that will go through reconstitution. And we believe that we will be fully reconstituted and out of the emergency telework situation by fall. So we're taking a pretty slow approach to it, but I think it's cautious and really thoughtfully done. The other thing I just wanted to mention to you is, like a lot of organizations, we're really experiencing significant challenges recruiting candidates for open positions. We have an excellent talent services team, many of who are actually on this call this evening, who are recruiting like crazy. We have more jobs open than ever before. But it's really become a problem. For example, in the classified service, our financial assistant position, in 2016, we had 211 applicants for that list. And then in 2022, we've only had 78. Same with our office assistant classification. In 2016, we had 866 applications, and this year, 246. So while we hope this is a short-term problem, I believe, as Board Member Hansen suggested earlier, it's a clear indication that we need to really take a look at our personnel rules and how they impact our ability to attract candidates and hire them in a timely fashion. So that is one thing that I...
Shall we?
Sure.
For my clarification just now, are you saying 800 applicants, 800 and some applicants for one position?
It's for the civil service list for that classification. So it'll be used to fill positions over an entire year period.
Got it. Okay. What else you got?
Last but not least, we received notice just yesterday that the clerk has finished its election, and an individual by the name of Corey Wick has been selected as the employee representative for the Civil Service Board. That appointment is effective May 24th, 2022. Ms. Wick is currently the Director of Administrative Services and Finance with West Pierce Fire and Rescue. She holds a master's degree in public administration and a bachelor's degree in business administration. So it looks like she will be available, hopefully, to join us for the June meeting. I have not met her yet, but she did get a good majority of the votes. So looking forward to working with her as well.
Well, it just seems strange to me that that the term would start after tonight. I don't that's just the way it was, I guess. That seems strange, but that was existing how it was. Yeah.
If I recall, Chair Summers' term ended on the 23rd of May, so that's likely why it's starting on the 24th.
Well, okay. Something for us to look at when we look at the rules.
Yes.
Did Vice Chair have something? Did I hear somebody somewhere?
Yeah, me.
Okay, Board Member Hansen.
I'd adopt Ms. Lance's technique here. It's a little bit easier on Zoom. Did I interrupt you?
A physical wave, you're much more likely to catch me than the wave icon.
Yeah, I was thinking, man, Ms. Lance has the daffodil float wave down pretty good. So, but apart from that, I wanted to just, I've always been curious here, Ms. Fritz, how long does it usually take to hire someone from the date of posting the position to the date that you're offering someone the position? And I know that varies, but do you have kind of a ballpark estimate of, okay?
It does. It's very difficult because what we do is establish a list once a year. So the position is open for a period of time, and we get all of the applicants, then a list gets established from there, and we use that list for an entire year. So in the 12th month, somebody could get hired on that list that was established a year ago. In terms of time to hire, I don't have a good number on that because it is so variable, but I invite any of my talent services colleagues to pop on if they would like to provide any data on that. Yeah, it's a very tough number to accurately calculate given the way we do the hiring.
I don't see anyone. I don't see anyone.
Yeah, no.
So, Vice Chair Sexton, I just had another follow-up question. So the list is generated by way of a competitive examination generally. Mm-hmm. And then once you have the list, then when you have an open position, you will select individuals, I guess the top individuals off that list to interview for in-person interviews or Zoom or whatever.
So once applications have been received, candidates typically take some kind of test and are ranked on the list from there. And so would be in rank order. And Jessica has popped on, one of our HR managers, and she can probably explain this much better than me.
All right.
Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you very much. This is a very difficult question to answer, especially in this time. We are having our candidates that are applying the list to applications that are open. We're not having a good turnout. So we are having to keep the list open. So sometimes it can be relatively fast where we will keep a listing open for, let's say, 5 to 10 days. And then as soon as they go through the testing process, we have interviews. So it could take up to a month, and then sometimes it could take longer because we're not having the qualified candidates actually apply and to meet men quals and then to pass the test. We have to go back out and open the list up again.
Okay, thanks very much for the information.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for popping on there. I see someone else has joined us. Did you have something you wanted to add to that?
Just here in solidarity.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Summers. So this is Cheryl Weidelman. I'm the Assistant Director of Talent Services. And
I'm not Chair Summers, but go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, that is such habit. I am so sorry. So I just wanted to add to what Jessica and Lynn were contributing there. And that is that, yeah, ideally we would hire somebody within several months, but keep in mind with the civil service list, the list could be created. And then using that same list of somebody who applied nearly a year ago, we would be reaching out to candidates saying, hey, you applied, you know, hypothetically 9 months ago, 12 months ago, would you like to work at the city? And, you know, many times we could get the reaction like, sorry, I don't even remember applying. So that's probably the biggest challenge about, you know, giving a number about how long it takes once a list has been created, is it could be, it's a brand new list, we're hiring right now, it takes a couple of months, or it could be it's the list that's a year old and we're trying to hire now. So I just wanted to add that.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Madam Director, are you still reporting?
That concludes my report. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. With that, are there comments from the public? Hearing none, seeing none. I should check the chat. Anyone see anyone waving? comments by the board, from the board? Want to welcome and greet our new board member Klein. Welcome. Glad to have you on board. Anyone? Going once, going twice? Is there a motion? Board Member Hansen.
I'd like to move to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Someone, is that Board Member Heller?
Yep, I second in.
Okay, thank you. We're out of here. The meeting is adjourned.